Good morning. I'm Kyle Omler with the guru Chris Bellina, and you're listening to The Blitz. All right, we already covered on Thursday half the league. We're going to continue right on with what we did. We left off with the San Diego Chargers going against the Dallas Cowboys. Phillip Rivers loving life right now. Yep. All those little short passes, all those little quick dump offs. He's very safe, high efficiency passes, and he's just dinking and dunking it down the field. Running game isn't helping him much, so he gets all the attention. Eddie Royal kind of came crashing back down to reality. Maybe he's not going to be this huge, amazing receiver that they were hoping, you know. And over on the other side, Dallas with Miles Austin. The same old with him, right?
Yeah. And that's what we said. If he could stay healthy, he'd have some serious fantasy value, and he just can't stay healthy. But starting with the Chargers, zero running game. I'm not playing Ryan Matthews. I'm not playing Danny Woodhead. And how many times have we seen the hot waiver wire guy that everyone salivates over get picked up and then do nothing the first time you put him in your lineup? Kevin Ogletree is one for sure, you know, Kevin Ogletree syndrome. And that's what happened with Eddie Royal. He's on nobody's roster. Everybody picked him up, probably played him this past week. He had a very poor fantasy game. Phillip Rivers right now and Gates, because he's Antonio Gates, are really the only must starts. I'm moving Rivers up. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of him. Decision making is there. The arm strength to the outside looks like it's there. He's getting pass protection, and he's doing all this without any running game. Again, they have their self-destruct button that they hit again last week with the fumble from Ronnie Brown, but and then giving up that big touchdown at the end of the game. This is the most snake-bitten team I've ever seen. Again, they have a self-destruct button. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Phillip Rivers' fantasy numbers have been pretty good.
Well, last week I said, I'm starting Phillip Rivers over Andrew Luck. And you're like, well, you might regret that. You know, you know what? It's about even, actually.
Yeah.
It was a wash. We pushed on that one. Nobody won on that bet.
I think Dallas is a really good team. Let's not underestimate Dallas and how good they're going to be this year. Just recapping, I'm looking at playing. Rivers is coming very close to the top 12 in quarterbacks, because guys like Kaepernick and RG3 are falling out of the top 12. So this guy like Phillip Rivers and Michael Vick, they're working their way into that top 12. So he's getting close to a must start. And if you have Kaepernick or you have RG3 and you don't have a really good backup quarterback and he's somebody second or third, you may want to look to start getting Phillip Rivers.
I would start him in front of both those two guys you mentioned.
Right. And so it's, you know, eventually it's going to happen. You got your standard draft guys. I'm going to say, and if you look at my list, when I list them, I even had RG3 down pretty low. It's because, you know, I got to see more. But I'm surprised.
Did.
But, you know, RG3 still had some pretty good fantasy value. He just stinks real life as far as winning games and whatever. But I'm playing Gates. I'm playing Rivers. Dallas, there's a lot of people worth playing. Romo, he's always a good fantasy player. DeMarco Murray, they should give him blinders. Like they said on NFL Network, that everyone on the other team looks like the Rams, because he ran for 200 and something yards against them last year, 175 against them this last week. I think he's going to be able to parlay that into another good game against the Chargers. Dez Bryant, man amongst boys. We say it every week. He's going to get his catches. He's going to get a touchdown. And Witten is a steady, consistent, top five, top 10 tight end. So you're not going to go wrong with Dallas Cowboy players. What you want to do with the Dallas Cowboys is see how long Miles Austin's going to be out and see who works their way into being that number two, because they're going to throw the ball. They're going to be a good, explosive offense. So someone may be able to keep Miles Austin off the field. And if that's their number three or their number four wide receiver that steps up, look for him on the waiver wire.
Tampa against the Cardinals. Tampa has themselves a new starting quarterback down there. Josh Freeman finally got sat for the guy they just drafted. Carson Palmer, he's actually not doing as good as I assumed he would do.
Yeah, and they're saying, well, because Larry Fitzgerald's hurt and doesn't have his primary weapon, I'm not buying it. I just think maybe he's shot. Could be. He could be shot. But I'm still thinking it's gonna come around for Carson Palmer. But starting with Tampa, yeah, you're going to play Doug Martin. And you're going to play Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, still.
Vincent Jackson, I was down on him when he went to Tampa last year, but he's a fantasy stud at this point. You know, he's had some really good games. What's going to happen is you're going to find out who's going to be. Glennon's going to find himself a comfort zone, and who that player is going to be. It might be Mike Williams. I think it's going to be Vincent Jackson. Look for Vincent Jackson to have huge numbers, because he can get open, he can get separation, he can get down the field. Glennon has a huge arm that's going to benefit Vincent Jackson. I'm not missing a beat. If Vincent Jackson's my number two wide receiver, he stays my number two wide receiver. Don't panic on the quarterback situation. Still play Vincent Jackson. Doug Martin also. I mean, they're going to probably nurse Glennon through, so they're going to give a lot of Doug Martin. Again, I'm not a big Doug Martin fan. I want to see more than what I've seen from him to be sold on him, but he's a must-start. The running back committee is so thin, he's a must-start. You can't sit him. I don't care what the situation is. Cardinals, running game, I'd stay away from it. Ellington looked pretty good, and 1 week Mendenhall looks pretty good, and there's the other guy who looks okay. Stay away from the running back
situation.
Yeah,
it's crazy there.
Michael Floyd hasn't stepped up yet. I'm a little disappointed. Was hoping that with Carson Palmer.
You're coming over to my Andre Roberts love, are you?
But he's not even doing anything either. That whole offense is struggling.
Last week was rough, yeah.
Fitzgerald hasn't done much. Not what we would have expected with having a true brand name quarterback throwing to him. And I thought this was Michael Floyd year two was going to take that next step, and it hasn't happened yet. This offense is going to gel. It may get real healthy against Tampa. Problem is you got Darrell Revis on that other side who is going to probably take Fitzgerald out of the game. So if I look for Floyd to be the number one guy this week, I look at Michael Floyd as a must start, as a number three or a flex player or a number four wide receiver.
Come on, man. Give Andre Roberts some love. And are you going to pick him? He's going to be the guy who gets all the catches this week.
Now, when I see it, you can tell me I told you so.
I already saw it, so I told you so. There you go. This next game's a real stinker, though, man. The Titans against the Jets. Anybody even worth looking at? How about the wide receivers out there in New York? Stephen Hill's catching some balls now.
Stephen Hill, you got a huge game out of Santonio Holmes out of nowhere. Geno Smith looking pretty good, but I'm not playing any of those guys, nor would I recommend them. Keep an eye on them. The reason I say that, let's see a couple of games in a row. If you start seeing that, well, then maybe with the bye weeks coming up, you may want to slide a Santonio Holmes in there or a Stephen Hill. The problem is they're not going against Buffalo's defense.
Right.
They're going against the Titans' defense, and the Titans' defense is going to punch you in the mouth. There ain't no two ways about it. This is a tough team. Resembles those old Jeff Fisher teams.
Yes, they do.
Where they punch you right in the mouth. Looking at this team, the only guy worth starting in this entire game is Chris Johnson. Mm-hmm. Even the receivers, nobody stepped up. I mean, it was Nate Washington 1 week, Kendall Wright another. Again, this is the same song and dance we talked about with them last year with Lockhart. I mean, it's good. He spreads the ball around. He's a good NFL. He's becoming a good NFL quarterback, but he's not going to help you in fantasy. Only guy I would say play is Chris Johnson. I think he ran for an 80-yard touchdown against the Jets last year. So he's a must-start on the Jets side. Keep an eye on some of the receivers. Keep an eye on Bilal Powell. This is not a game you're going to want to play any running back against the Titans. And that's going to be a trend throughout the year. You're really not going to want to play running backs against the Titans. I'm not playing anybody on the Jets this week.
Minnesota against the Steelers. Like you said earlier, Adrian Peterson hasn't really been Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's putting up respectable numbers, but not Adrian Peterson, number one overall numbers. Cordarrelle Patterson, though, wherever the heck you say his first name, Cordell Patterson, yeah. They got to get that guy involved. I mean, how much more do they need to see? Okay, he's clearly the best wide receiver that they have on that team. Pittsburgh is oof.
I don't think it's that they need to get him involved. I don't think they can get him involved. I just don't think Christian Ponder is a very good quarterback.
This is what we talked about in the preseason, too, when we were talking about these guys coming in, that this could be a make-or-break season for Ponder because if they're getting the weapons around him, if he can't deliver, then time to move on.
He's not playing terrible, but I just don't think he's anyone who's ever going to – I haven't seen a single thing to make me think this is a franchise quarterback.
No, me either.
So, and as far as fantasy, other than the fact he's a starter, he has no fantasy value whatsoever, nor do anybody catching the ball. And Adrian Peterson, obviously, is a must-start, but he's going to struggle this week against Pittsburgh's defense. Pittsburgh's defense is playing inspired football because they're getting a lot of practice. They're on the field all the time because their offense is so bad. Showed some signs of getting out of it last week, but they're a turnover factory. I'm not playing Ben Roethlisberger in this game, and I'm staying away from really playing anybody in this game if I don't have to. The only guy I'm really looking at is Antonio Brown. You got a flight to London. You're really not going to have the practice week that you think you're going to have. Struggling offense anyway. Who knows if Le'Veon Bell is going to be in, so you stay away from that running back situation. This is a game with limited fantasy value and two that stand out. Brown for the Steelers, Peterson for the Vikings. Other than that, stay away from the rest of the players.
Redskins, Oakland, Denarius Moore. Is he all of a sudden the guy now to actually make some receptions? He definitely seems to be getting targeted the most, but now Pryor has that concussion. And like you said before, on the Washington side of the ball, that doesn't really look like RG3, does he?
I think what they really need to do is get Roy Helu, and I didn't mean to rhyme that, into the game more.
Do Roy Helu.
Because
nice.
he's a dual threat. And I really think that he, right now, RG3 needs somebody. He's not getting anything out of his tight ends. Fred Davis is hurt again. Logan Paulson's not somebody who's going to stretch the field and open things up. You need a guy like Roy Helu and catch the ball out of the backfield and make a big play with that, like he's shown he's done in the past. Just get RG3 some confidence. Big, you get a lot of fantasy points that way, especially if you get points for receptions or completions, I should say. But I'm not the coach. What they're going to try and do is let RG3 be RG3. And he could probably do it against the Raiders because Raiders are pretty bad. Their defense doesn't look very good. So on the Raiders side of the ball, I would just play McFadden in this game.
Man, McFadden, that is such a risk, though. I mean, yeah. He got such garbage time. But I guess he's like the king of garbage time because that's what he keeps getting this year.
Well, and you're only in the game for the first quarter or so, and then it pretty much goes downhill from there. Basically, he's someone you have to play. You drafted him early. You're not going to sit him, especially against the Redskins, who are
right.
just hemorrhaging yards to everybody. I mean, it is giving up yards Very and giving true. Up yards. Dare I say Jacoby Ford again? But
no, please don't say his name.
I'm disappointed.
I will tell you, though, the guy is lightning out on
them. Oh, I mean, they just can't get him the ball.
Yeah.
If he's on a team where they can get him the ball, that guy would be unbelievable. So on Oakland, it's just Darren McFadden. Denarius Moore in a deeper league where you can play three wide receivers or a flex or a fourth wide receiver. I'm playing Denarius Moore in that capacity. You're going to play RG3 because you drafted him high. This isn't a game you're going to sit him. This is a game you hope you see him turn it around. But I go back many, many years to 1997. Cordell Stewart was a humongous fantasy guy. Humongous fantasy guy. Running, throwing, you name it, he scored it as a quarterback. And then the next year, I know people who played him and continually played him and played him all year and watched their team sink because they kept waiting for the game that he was going to break out like he did a year before. We had all those yards and all them points for fantasy, and it never came, ever. Is that going to happen with RG3 where you just sit and you play him because he's RG3 and he's this excitable player from last year? Keep an eye on this, guys. Don't let RG3 drag you down while you wait for last year's numbers from him.
Right.
If he can't do it against a team like Oakland, that's a problem.
That's a big problem.
So Absolutely. Alfred Morris has been pretty steady. I wasn't high on him this year. He's been pretty steady. And as far as receivers, Garcon, he's been pretty steady also. I mean, RG3 has been getting some yards. He's just not the RG3 that anybody expected year two. I know there's going to be a little bit of time for him to get back to 100%, whatever. But again, keep an eye on that, guys. You don't want to go too far hoping that this guy comes to play the way he played last year. So keep an eye on that. Very limited fantasy value in this game.
Detroit, Chicago. Well, this is going to be just a fun game to watch, obviously. A great rivalry. It's been around forever. But you got an explosive offense in Detroit going against a pretty darn decent offense / defense. Actually, they both got pretty decent defenses when you look at them. They kind of mirror each other quite a bit with that quarterback who has the big arm that's whipping it down to a big, strong wide receiver and a versatile running back situation. Bush says he's going to be playing in this game. Do you believe him?
I'm going to change my name to Chris Joik Bell Lena. Great if he plays, but I still think Joik Bell is a low. If Reggie Bush does not play, Joik Bell is a must-start again, just like I said last week. Again, over 60 yards rushing, 60 yards receiving, and a touchdown. Can't ask for more than that from a guy who was probably on waivers or sitting on your bench.
Guy you never heard of 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I drafted the guy. He was drafted, and for that exact reason, for when Reggie Bush got hurt. Joik Bell is going to be a factor even when he comes back. He's someone that he could be a good flex player for you, a points per reception league. He is the goal line guy, so he is somebody you'd want to have in your lineup. I say, of course, the name brand guys, but a guy you may want to keep a little bit of an eye on who may be out there on waivers, and with injury to Nate Burleson, he's starting to come back from his injury. You know where I'm going with this?
Yes, Broyles.
Broyles. Keep an eye out for Ryan Broyles, guys. Keep an eye out for Ryan Broyles. I think it's going to be his time. You watch. The offense, they just throw and throw and throw and throw some more. There's no more Nate Burleson. He broke his arm getting pizza. It's going to beat Naples.
Is that what he was doing? Seriously, yeah. Getting pizza? Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so.
It was a car accident, no alcohol involved.
No alcohol. And, I when I heard that, the first thing I thought was drunk driving. I like Nate Burleson. I like listening to him on NFL Network. He's a good, solid guy. Sucks he was hurt, but glad it wasn't something alcohol-related.
Yeah,
so
he wasn't bonehead about it. He was just hungry.
Pedigree was an absolute joke.
Wow, is he bad.
Fiora, it looks like he's going to get the lion's share of the touchdowns. So if he's a waiver wire option, you may want to pick him up and see if he turns into a bigger factor on offense. Pick your poison with the Lions. You go right down the list, pick everybody. But the key factor or the key pickup for you guys, I'm sure he's available just about every league, is Ryan Broyles. Chicago, Cutler's looking pretty good. Forte is going to have a big game against this defense. Again, it's a lot of fantasy guys. Martellus Bennett is like a must start. Brandon Marshall, I mean, they really fed the ball to Alshon Jeffrey. And you could use Jeffrey as a lower tier three receiver, a number three or a number four in this week, and expect to get points because it's going to be a shootout. Right about, you know, him or Broyles at that same three or four receiver spot. Brandon Marshall is going to have a huge game. You know, he always does. A lot of fantasy. Again, Jay Cutler's a guy who's on the fringe of that top 12 the way he's playing. Getting Martellus Bennett's really helped that offense,
yes,
too. So, again, if you have a RG3 or you have a Kaepernick and Cutler's your backup, this is the game you want to get Cutler in because of the matchup. It's going to be high scoring, a lot of weapons. Cutler's working his way up into that top 12. He may be someone you want to get in your lineup.
Monday Night Football, Miami against New Orleans. This is just, this game, man, is much better than I thought it was going to be before the season started.
Well,
Tannehill.
Tannehill is the real deal, Holyfield.
Yeah, he is.
He's a backup fantasy quarterback. So he's somebody who, depending on who your starter is, I don't think anyone has Ryan Tannehill as their every week starter. Could be. He's being that productive. But if he's your backup, this is the game you may want to sit those guys for Ryan Tannehill because they're going to have to score and they're going to score. Stay away from the running game again. Nobody's a must start. If you're desperate for a second or third running back, Lamar Miller, Daniel Thomas, this doesn't look like he's going to take that position. As far as receivers, you know, Mike Wallace, good game, bad game, good game, bad game. I mean, is that what we're going to get out of this guy? I look for him to have a big game this week. Mike Wallace is a must start. Brian Hartline is somebody, again, lower-level wide receiver or number three or number four. But get that Charles Clay in your lineup.
Yes.
I'm liking what I'm seeing from Charles Clay. When Dustin Keller went down, his value went way up. He's kind of like that jack-of-all-trades, like a Marcel Reese. Very similar type of game where he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a good blocker, can play H-back. Charles Clay is somebody Tannehill is using often, and he's someone that was probably on the waiver wires that just got picked up. Well, you pick them up, get them in your lineup. On the other side, Breeze has been Drew Breeze, but the only guy that's really been tearing it up has been Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
Not much out of Colston so far this year.
No. Sproles has had a little bit lower year this year as well.
Big first game, nothing since. No number two, nothing from Lance Moore. Nothing from Robert Meacham scored a touchdown last week, big deal. But Colston hasn't had that big blow-up game. The Dolphins' defense is pretty good. They're going to look to probably shut down Graham, shut down Colston, but they're still must-starts. You're playing Breeze, you're playing Sproles, you're playing Jimmy Graham, you're playing Colston, because you know these guys at any point in time could put 100 yards and two touchdowns any game against any opponent. So this is a game chock full of fantasy opportunity, and the great news is it's on Monday night, so everyone's going to get to watch it. It's going to be a coming-out party for Ryan Tannehill and that Dolphin 3-0 Dolphin team. I'm really excited to see what happens with them.
That's every game, guys.
Wow.
I know. Every single one of them. I really hope that everybody has a great weekend. Take some of the advice that we've been dishing out here. Get some wins.
Let's do it. Now's the time. Keep an eye on your teams. Next week, we'll talk some more about possible players to trade. So tune in next week.
Yes. For Chris Bellina, I'm Kyle Almer, and you were listening to The Blitz.
Good one. Good one.